Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
California governor forbids singing in church. We're going to be talking about this case on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, when all of these restrictions began, they were just simply saying, well, you just need to temporarily shut down for 2 weeks and go online. Lots of people were okay with that. Some resisted because they didn't have the capability to go online, or the people couldn't actually receive something online, or they had other kinds of ministry that couldn't be done online. At any rate, now we're at the point in time where it's more than just the number of people, the social distancing, or some of the other hygienic precautions or protocols, but now they want to micromanage what's going on in your church. The first one in the country that I'm aware of, Holly, was a county in California that did this. Mm-hmm. Then also in our litigation in Kentucky, after we won several decisions at the courts, the Kentucky governor wanted to make some modified guidance for churches that also addressed singing. Well, we got that stopped as well. But now I believe this is the first in the country where an entire state under the governor's order has been ordered that you can't sing. There are certain protocols that you cannot participate in singing, including rehearsals or chanting. Can't even chant in these churches or other houses of worship. This is just absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, talk about an assault on the First Amendment to control people in church. And I believe he's also limiting 25% capacity. But to say that you can't sing, or if you choose to chant, but yet you've got thousands of people out there and protest singing and chanting whatever they're chanting, and he's encouraging that, and there's no punishment for that?
Yeah, and the Sacramento Bee says, Californians are still free to attend their house of worship, but they're forbidden from singing or chanting. Now, that's a real problem.
Yeah.
And the guidance for places of worship was issued on July the 1st, just before the Independence Day celebration. And here's what it says in part. It's a 14-page order. It's long, but here's what it says in part. Discontinue singing, parentheses, in rehearsals, services, etc., parentheses, chanting, or other practices and performances where there is increased likelihood for transmission from contaminated exhaled droplets. Consider practicing these activities through alternative methods, such as internet streaming, that ensure individual congregation members perform these activities separately in their own homes. That's part of what's in this 14-page order. And this is just unbelievable. So he says, you can't chant. Well, you know, some people actually read aloud certain scriptures, or they have someone read it and then they do a particular portion of the scripture. Some churches, they actually recite the creed,
sure,
various creeds, or the Lord's Prayer. I guess that's chanting, where you're all opening your mouth and you're reciting something. So it's not just singing. And, you know, in rehearsals, you can't even do it in rehearsals. It doesn't matter how far apart you are. You could have a 1,000-seat sanctuary, and you could have people distanced quite far from each other. But he says, no, don't even do that in rehearsals or other services, no chanting or other practices, whatever that might be.
You know, I much rather follow what Paul says in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a part of worship.
That's a part of worship.
That's the way God created us.
Yeah, and so he, listen to what he says here. He says, consider practicing these activities through alternative methods, such as internet streaming. So if you have people in the church, What do you just like watch a video, I guess.
I guess.
On the screen. Or you don't even have people coming to church. If you're going to sing, then you just have people do that at home, but not in church.
But then is he going to control that if you have more than one person watching online?
You know, they're,
it's getting absurd.
There are some churches that don't sing. That's part of what they do. They don't sing. There's some churches that sing and they don't have instruments. There's others that sing with instruments. There's others that recite creeds or recite scriptures. There is lots of different things that happen in a wide variety of churches, from Catholic to Protestant to Orthodox. And we're just talking about within the Christian realm, not even talking about Jews in terms of, you know, the cantor. What happens to the cantor in a synagogue where the cantor gets up and chants certain portions of the scripture?
You know, I think it's so sad, though, that this offends him so much. And perhaps if he could just attend one of these services and see the move of the Lord through people's worship, it might really change his heart. That would be my prayer. But for him to control the worship in churches is absolutely unconstitutional.
You know, 40% or so of the Old Testament is written in some kind of poetic form.
Right. Look at the Psalms.
There's musical notes.
Songs.
If you look at Habakkuk, for example, and obviously we're very familiar with Psalms, mm-hmm. there is that Hebrew word that's called Selah, and that is a poetic notation for music. Mm-hmm. You know, the Psalms were actually put to music, and in fact, you can sing them. And many Psalms have been actually put in modern-day music.
Right.
But originally, they also were sung. That's how you could remember so much of the Psalms, by virtue of singing them. And that's why it's called Psalms. And then, you know, you have the Song of Solomon. There's lots of different singing within the Scripture. You have singing in the Lord's Supper, you know, the Passover meal. You have that happening as well as part of the worship service, the passage that you've read. And there's others like that about have a joyful sound and raise psalms and spiritual songs. It is a very important part of worship.
Well, even your traditional hymns, there's so much rich history within those words. You know, they're not just, you know, haphazardly thrown together, but those writers had deep meaning when they wrote those hymns.
You know, I've seen so many different stories of people around the world, some of them missionaries, mm-hmm. some of them not, being attacked by either terrorist or by a robber or a thief, and the person breaks out in singing mm-hmm. a song. In fact, there was just recently a church that was in New York, and a Black Lives Matter group of people came to protest and block entrance to the church, and they were hassling and pushing some of the church members as they were trying to get in. And what did the church members do? They began singing Amazing Grace.
Mm-hmm. There's power in those
there's
words.
There's power in those words, mm-hmm. and he's trying to micromanage that. Well, there's a pastor of Lancaster Bible Church. He's quoted in one of these articles here on the Todd Starnes Show. He was interviewed, Dr. Paul Chappell. He says, first the state told us when to worship. Now they're telling us how to worship, he said. We have been patient and safe, even wearing masks, he said. Our church will sing to the Lord on Sunday. The heavens declare his glory, and so will we. And he goes on to say, you know, we've watched our elected leaders pray and sing with demonstrators in the streets. We invite them to join us Sunday to see we actually practice social distancing and we obey the scripture to sing and admonish one another in the Lord, the pastor said. He goes on to say, you know, we have Black Lives Matter protesters. They chant all kinds of, many of them, vile things against law enforcement. Why can't Christians chant the Lord's Prayer?
Amen.
You know, Governor Newsom has no authority to do this. We've been contacted by churches in California regarding this matter. Liberty Council is working not only here, but also all over the country in various states. You know, these restrictions started to get withdrawn. There was good developments happening. We litigated and are litigating in a number of places, working with I don't know, several thousand pastors around the country with multiple conferences that we did, and many churches began to meet. Then some of these governors started to crack down again, and this is another example of this with the governor of California. So these restrictions are coming back in places where they were lessened, and we're having to continue to fight for these churches and for religious freedom all over the country. The government has no right to restrict and tell you how, when, and the manner and form of worship. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website and sign up for our email. You can go to the subscribe button on the top page and subscribe to one or more of our emails, lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. Call us at 407-875-1776.